I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Would people buy Jesus based on your free sample? I love this question. Would people buy Jesus based on your free sample? I got a story. Once upon a time, circa 62 AD, in ancient Turkey, there was a thriving textile industry in a place called Colossae. And this little hillside city, that's all that's left of it, that mound there, but that mound is way bigger than you think it is. This little hillside city produced a world-renowned fine wool called Colossinus. And it was shiny, naturally purplish wool, just world famous. And it brought in a colossal amount of wealth and cultures and spiritual beliefs. And its people were called Colossians, right? And many became Christians. But from the beginning, oh my goodness, they were bombarded with an onslaught of self-centered philosophies and pseudo-spiritual ideologies, and they quickly bought the notion of blending their faith with these high-sounding views. And their faith, you know, once rooted firmly in Christ, was just being shot down and diluted by the non-stop barrage of secular beliefs. Like us. Very much like us today. And so, their very faithful teacher, a man named Epaphras, hightailed it to Paul, who at the time was under house arrest in Rome. In fact, that's where they put him under house arrest. That thing's been standing there for over 2,000 years. And so Epaphras hightails it to Rome to report to Paul Colossae's spiritual warfare in order to send back some much-needed reinforcement. And thus, Paul's letter to the embattled believers of Colossae. And, oh, I love this book. Because it's all warfare language to the embattled believers who were being blown away by every wind of doctrine. And he begins, grace and peace to you from God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you heard about in the word of truth, also known as the gospel, which literally means good news, the good news that is bearing fruit and growing since the day you heard it and understood, and here's the balance, God's grace in all its truth. And of course, he says, you learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant. But then he goes on to say, but here's the thing. You got to let your roots grow down into Christ. And then draw up nourishment from him so you will grow in faith. Strong and vigorous in the truth. Just say that line with me, please. Strong and vigorous in the truth you were taught. Okay? And he says, and what are you doing? Don't let anyone lead you astray with empty philosophy and high-sounding nonsense. I just love the way he puts that. With empty philosophy and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the evil powers of this world. Because here's the thing. We're so much like the Colossians. The only way to stand firm and stay true and not be taken captive by talk show philosophies and pseudo-spirituality and secular self-helpers is to know and embrace exactly what only God the Father has done and what only Jesus the Son can do. And he just lays it out right here, simple. For the Father has rescued us. Past tense. The Father has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the light of the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption through his blood, which grants us by his grace the forgiveness of sins. Sigh some relief. Oh, yeah. The forgiveness of sins. Where else do you get that? Where else? But here's the thing. It is by nature, it's an all or nothing deal. You can't blend it with other stuff. Not a lot of room for mixing and matching and blending. So, take it or leave it. But don't try to mix and match it. Because to put it bluntly, if Christ isn't everything, he's nothing. That's just the truth. Because the gospel, the good news, isn't a supplement or an ingredient to improve your life. It is your life. Or it isn't. One or the other. It is or it isn't. Because in him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. Now, Colossians is also one of my all-time favorite Route 66 videos. If you're not familiar, we took a road trip through the 66 books of the Bible years ago. But this is one of my all-time favorites. I picked up Epaphras on his way to Rome for reinforcements. And when we were writing this thing, we took the warfare theme. Oh, here's a surprise. We took the warfare theme to an absurd level. But we went out and found some collectors and we borrowed authentic World War I uniforms. Like, yeah, it has to be like old days. So, because it's 2,000 years ago. So World War I uniforms and weapons and a field phone. And we had a heyday. And I'm not going to make this a habit showing these old things, but indulge me.
Okay. We need him to dispatch an epistle to our people.
What's left of them?
What happened to your people? The lucky ones were captured by empty philosophy and high-sounding nonsense. We can get them back. A handful are hidden in Christ.
But they don't have any provisions.
What about the rest of them? Gone. Dead to the word. They were bombarded by Gnosticism, humanism, and legalism.
It was a massacre.
I'm hit. Oh, Epaphras. I'm hit. I've been indoctrinated.
How deep is it?
Oh, it's bad.
It's bad, Sarge. It's self-serving intellectualism.
Hang on, man! Hang on to your faith!
Paul! Paul, come in! We need a defense!
We're losing the blood of Christ back here!
He bought it! Epaphras! He bought it!
He bought it. Oh, I'm hit. Okay, humorous side note. That week when we were getting the props ready, I carried them between this building and the Ark, and somebody eating at Sherry's restaurant, back when it was Sherry's restaurant across the street, saw me and called 911. And about, I don't know, 15 minutes later, I'm in my office, and Buddy runs in and says, "We're on lockdown. We're on lockdown. The police have surrounded the place, and they have a man with a rifle trapped in the Ark." You can only imagine the shiver that went up my... I just carried a rifle into the Ark about 15 minutes ago. Right? Oh, the humility. I don't think I've ever told you this story. It's just, I can finally tell it. Oh, the humility. I went out that back door of the main building there, and there's three officers, guns drawn on the corner, aimed at the entrance of the Ark. I say, "Excuse me." And they yell, "Go back inside! Get back inside!" And I have to say, I think I'm the guy you're looking for. Get up here. Oh, well, suffice it to say, we all sat there and had a big laugh. Except we did not. It was it was humiliating. Well, back in Colossae, they had another big problem. And it was the strong and vigorous believers. It was the good ones, the ones who were staying in the church. You see, the spiritual warriors had little time or tolerance for backsliders and non-believers. And really, any others that they deemed to be enemies of the truth, real or imagined. Again, like us today. And since the best defense is a good offense, Paul tackles their offensive lines head on and reminds them that not only is it not the loudest and proudest who win the good fight for a lost soul, they're the ones who usually lose it. Right? So he cautions them, saying to clothe yourselves. Now listen to these words. Take them to heart. Clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness. And humility, and gentleness, and patience. You know, bear with each other, and come on, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, and allow the peace of Christ to rule in your hearts. This is the appealing apparel that we begin to don when the light of Christ begins to dawn on us. So imagine a soldier, since we're talking warfare, imagine a soldier in the trenches trying to change into a clean new uniform without, hitting the showers and removing their muddy old outfit first. Instead, they just try to force the new one over the old. Like us, right? So without knowing it, now the strong believers are making the same mistake, diluting the gospel, same mistake by not letting Jesus strip away their unsuitables. And so Paul says, but now you, come listen up, soldiers, you must rid yourselves of all such things as these, anger and rage, and malice, and slander, and filthy language. And do not lie to each other about it, okay? Since you have taken off your old lying self with its practices. And you have put on the new self, which is being renewed. See, oh, so glad for that line. It's a process. It's being renewed in knowledge and action, of course, in the image of its creator. So glad he says that. It's a process. So the next time you misplace your grace and someone calls you out for not acting like a good Christian, just say, "It's a process." and say it just that way. It's a process, man. But then you imagine that soldier in the trenches and have a little talk with Jesus about changing. I heard the worst. I heard the worst hard-hitting saying. Oh, it's just awful because it's so true. The worst you treat others is the most you love Jesus. Ouch. It's a process and it's true. But let's read that together. The worst you treat others is the most you love Jesus. Everybody say ouch. Ouch. That hurts. Okay, I got a horrible story. I told Char, my wife, I was going to tell the story. I said, oh, I'm going to tell the story about Keaton Winnie. And I got a half sentence in and she goes, don't. I don't want to hear it. I've blocked it from my memory. It is such a horrible story. But when our son was quite young, we found him. He was playing with kids out in the yard, backyard. I think it was at grandma's house. Anyway, and he had this stick. It was a sharp branch. There was a pile of, somebody had been pruning the pile of branches. And so we took it away. We took it away. We warned him of the dangers. And then they're playing. Kids are playing. Adults are congregating around the house. And all of a sudden he comes running into the house. And he's got this bleeding scrape all along his neck. Right? Turns out he found another stick and went down the slide with it. And at the bottom, the stick stuck and stopped, and he flew forward. Oh my gosh. It's so horrible. Just, oh. Because of his lack of trust in us and or fear of us, he nearly impaled himself in the process of having fun. Likewise, some believers, not you, but other people around you, some believers only fear of God is that he'll make him give up the fun stuff. When in reality, and you know this in your heart, he just wants to prevent us from impaling ourselves. Right? True faith is not a series of giving ups. It's a sequence of growing ups, maturing, conquering, taking ground in your life by learning to trust in trusting the Lord. And the more we become like Jesus, boy, I can tell you, I'm in my 60s now, and it's sure true. The more we become like Jesus, I look back, the less interested we become in playing with things that can only end in pain for ourselves and others. So then, soldiers, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Rooted, you know, grounded and built up, growing in him and established in the faith, abounding in the faith with thanksgiving. But beware, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the basic principles of the world and not according to Christ. And you see, this grounding and abounding and growing, boy, that's how I feel. This bounding, grounding and growing comes only from knowing and trusting and practicing his word on the people around you. That's who you practice it on, right? So let the word of Christ. Don't stop it. Let it do what it wants to do. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And then whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, because he's the vine and we're the sticks. We are the sharp branches. So we got to be grounded and growing in Christ to learn to stop jabbing the people around us. We're impaling ourselves. Accept it, embrace it, and live it. Or don't. But do one of the two. Just don't deceive yourself into thinking you can be this mix and match believer. Either extreme, do it or don't, is better in the long run. Be hot or cold, not lukewarm, is better in the long run than buying the lie that you can blend it or blend in with the world. It's not what we're called to do. But here's the thing. So this Colossians is this double back and forth, constantly talking to both mistakes, because there is a blend that we're called to mix well when it comes to engaging outsiders. So be wise in the way you act toward the outsiders. How? Well, make the most of every opportunity. How? Let your conversation be always full of grace and seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So there's the big question for me and you, right? Our conversations, are they always full of grace? Well, usually, except when I'm upset or angry, right? Then it's full on assault. But thing is, that's the only time it can actually be grace. Because grace is pretty much only grace when you don't want to give it. Unless you're very mature. But that maturity requires a selfless compassion. And that requires the supremacy of Christ's authority firmly rooted and ruling from deep within. You see, sweetness doesn't negate the salt of truth. It just takes the edge off. You know, dulls that sharp point of the branch stick. So the question isn't, you know, regarding yourself and your tongue and your words. It isn't just, is what I'm saying true? But also, is this the right amount for this person in this moment? You see, the message doesn't change, just the measure in the moment. Read people. Read the room. Read the person. Because salt is famously famous in churches. You know, you hear this all the time for five things. Actually, there's four, but I added my own fifth. And it's the best one. It's at the end. One, making things tastier, right? And two, making folks thirstier. You know, and here's a parable. If the world was a bar, you'd be the free nuts. And three, what'd you learn at church today? And three, melting the frozen. And four, preserving things. And there's a His Place addition. Five, raising blood pressure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that response. Good job, Sharon. And so, in order to embody the classic first four and avoid the fifth, we just need to keep in mind two things. One, a little salt goes a long way. And number two, a little of you does too. Boy, that truer words were never spoken from the pulpit, and this is for all of us. A little of you goes a long way. Faith can't be forced. But that doesn't seem to stop us from trying, right? Oh, but we are called, we are supposed to be set out for people to sample. As they, as the outsiders, consider the options, right? There's a lot of options in this world for quenching their deepest, darkest needs down here. So as a believer, are you a sweet and salty sample? Because who doesn't love and... Don't say, if I'm about to say some things, don't say, not me, because I don't want to hear that. Because who doesn't love salted caramels? Everybody does. Or kettle corn, or trail mix, or chocolate-covered potato chips. Don't knock them till you've tried them. They're delicious. Or honey-roasted nuts. Well, likewise, you are, not might be, maybe, you are, like it or not, you are the salt of the earth. And pleasant words are sweetness to the soul. So, come and allow us. Come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. And this means war, spiritual war, with ourselves. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. It's a process. And let us put on the armor of light, the full armor of truth, the salt of truth, and of course, righteousness, and then peace and faith, salvation, and above all, the Word of God. And put to death sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, and greed, while keeping in mind that in these you too once just blindly, darkly walked, right? For you were once darkness, but now, get ready, now you are light in the Lord. So put your chin up. Walk as children of light. You're the only hope the world has. Because he's coming through you as ambassadors. Which means to walk in the light as he is in the light. Which means to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom with grace in your hearts. So that you can walk in wisdom toward those who are outside. Which means to let your speech always be with grace, you know, kindness and love and listening. And then seasoned with a touch of salt. That you may know not necessarily what, but how you ought to answer each one. Because the salt of truth is universal, but the grace of respect is individual. So walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects, bearing fruit according to his glorious might of the saints in light. And have salt in yourselves, of course, have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. For the ear tests words as the tongue tastes food. So let those who sample you taste and see that the Lord is good. So put away all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, all that garbage, and grow up. Grow up into salvation. The salvation comes, then you grow up in it. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. For the Lord will be, wants to be, your everlasting light. And we'll each have our own unique blend, just like no one's Chex Mix tastes the same. Caramel corn, I get bags of caramel corn. I love caramel corn at Christmas. I just ate the last of it last night. It's all different, though. It's interesting. You all have your own blend of sweet and salty. But our basic appeal will basically depend on just two things. Our command of his word and control of our tongue. Because I can guarantee that everyone you know has a sweet tooth for grace and a serious craving for a touch of salt. And so Paul closes his letter to the Colossians saying, well, Epaphras, that servant of Jesus Christ, always prays for you that you will grow to be spiritually mature and have everything God wants for you. And I do too, for you. That's my prayer, because I know it's a process. So let's pray. Father God, we love you and worship you and strive to walk in a manner worthy of you. So Holy Spirit, ground us in your word and train us to control our words. And Lord Jesus, in the daily barrage of dark deceptions down here, we praise you as the one and only light of life. And in your name, everybody said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make His face shine upon you.